This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
During this Christmas season, Mark has chosen to break away from teaching in the book of Mark, and our lesson this morning comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, if you would join me in Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen. Thank you, John, Hayes family, Caleb, worship team. Well, it's about time to start getting those Christmas cards ready to send, because Christmas is just 26 days away. What? So Paul talked about Christmas a lot. At least he talked about the coming of the Christ child, the greatest gift, a lot. And this passage today in Galatians 4, I look at it as a Christmas card from Paul to the churches in Galatia, right? This passage is a Christmas card. This is a group of churches that struggled a lot with works mentality, just as some of us do, all of us do at times, trying to earn it, trying to work hard, trying to be pleasing to the Lord through our efforts. And so Paul reminded them that a little baby grew up to be a man, changed everything. And I love the story, and you've heard me tell this story before, but it's been a long time, called The Luck of Roaring Camp by Bret Hart. Anybody ever read that story? So the scene is this. In this mining camp, these are rough-hewn men. Almost everybody in the camp is a man. About half of them are criminals, have a criminal record. There's one woman in the camp. Her name is Cherokee Sal, and she gives birth to a baby and dies in the process. So here are these rough-hewn, flea-bitten men stuck with this brand new baby. And so first they said, well, put her in a box and put some rags around her. Well, that didn't look right. So they sent somebody 90 miles to go to a rosewood cradle. They brought the rosewood cradle back and put her in there with the rags. And they said, them rags look terrible. So they sent somebody else 90 miles in another direction to get some nice lace blankets. So they put her in there and put her with the lace blankets around her. And Stumpy, one of the men, said, you know, that rosewood cradle sorter kills the rest of the furniture. So they decided they needed to clean up the house. And so the house was nasty. And all these men got down on their knees and they were scrubbing the floor. And they got the floor looking good. That made the walls look terrible. So they started scrubbing the walls. And then the windows looked awful. So they scrubbed the windows and they put curtains up in the windows. And then they said, you know, we can't be fighting like we normally do every night because that baby needs to sleep. So all brawling has to stop. And so they stopped fighting. And then one of them said, now look, unless you cannot hold this baby, Stumpy said, you cannot pick up this little girl unless you've been cleaned. Well, that kind of was a hardship on Ken Tuck. See, he looked at his outer clothing as a second cuticle. And kind of like a snake, it just sloughed off when it rotted. And so he said, well, I guess if I want to hold that baby, I got to get cleaned up. So he would come in all fresh-faced every day from his ablutions. Look that word up. It means he just got washed. And he would get to hold the baby. Well, pretty soon the people in the towns nearby noticed that something weird was going on in Roaring Camp. In fact, somebody commented, he said, they got vines and flowers around their houses, and they washed themselves twice a day. Well, a baby changes everything. It changed Roaring Camp, and it changed Bethlehem, and it changed Judea, and it changed Burlington. In fact, it changed your life and my life. I want to show you four truths from this text today in Galatians chapter 4. The first truth that we see is that this baby was sent. You say, well, that's no big deal, is it? Oh, yeah, it's a huge deal. It says God sent forth his Son. Paul writes that. Now that, in a nutshell, is the incarnation. And next week, Lord willing, Scott's going to look at another birthday card sent from Paul to the church in Philippi, and he's going to unpack that incarnation in a much deeper way. So we'll wait for that and look forward to that. But this sets Jesus apart from every other baby ever born on planet Earth, right? Jesus did not begin at Christmas. Everybody know that, right? Jesus did not begin in a manger. Jesus did not begin in the womb of Mary. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was," because that would indicate that he lived before Abraham, but there was a time when he didn't exist. No, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus didn't start at creation. No, he was the source of creation. He was the agent of creation. Listen to this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. And then it says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Without him, there was nothing that was made that was made. What was not made? Can you tell me what was not created? God, Jesus. Who's the third one? The Holy Spirit, right? Everything else. You say, well, what about the devil? It was creation. Angels, creation. Men, women, animals, everything was created by God. And Jesus was the agent of creation. In fact, David Mathis says this. I love this. "Human flesh did not become the Word. The Word became human flesh. The baby was sent. No one else has been sent." I mean, we're all sent. We have all been sent to the earth by God for a purpose. But we did not exist before we were conceived in the womb of our mothers. We didn't exist. Mormon doctrine about how we were once a man and then we will become a god and we existed in heaven before we were born is false doctrine. It's heresy. We did not exist until we were created by God in that zygote in the womb of our mother, but not Jesus. The pre-existent Christ was sent to earth. Think of it like this. God sent God to redeem man. And that's the second truth in this Christmas card. He was sent to redeem us. Verse 5. God sent forth his Son to redeem those of us who were under the law. Why did we need redeeming? Because we were under what? What does the verse say? We were under the law. We were born sinners. We were enslaved by sin from birth. Paul says this in Romans 6. He says, "We were once slaves of sin, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." So we were set free by being redeemed. And redeemed means that we were bought back. It means that we were bought out of. It means that we were purchased with a purchase price because we could not purchase ourselves. We could not redeem ourselves. It's utterly impossible for us to buy ourselves back. This had to be done by the Father through the precious blood of Jesus. I love the old story, and I know you've probably heard this story years ago, but the little boy who built a toy sailboat, he labored for hours on this toy sailboat. He made it just the way he wanted to make it. He designed the sail, and then one day it was finished, and that came the day when he would put the sailboat in the water, and it would do what he had created it to do. It would sail, and he put it in the lake, and a strong wind came up, and it blew the toy sailboat away from the shore. And he ran around that lake for hours looking for his boat, and he never could find it. His boat was gone. It was lost. Until one day he was walking through town and he saw in the shop window his boat. He couldn't believe it. He ran inside. He told the man, "That's my boat. My boat. You got my boat. Where'd you find my boat?" And the man said, "That's not your boat. It's my boat." He said, No. I made that boat and I put it in the water and the wind blew it and I lost it, but that's my boat. I made it." And he said, "Son, listen, somebody brought that boat in here and I bought it from them and now that boat's for sale. If you would like that boat, you're going to have to buy that boat." Well, the boy had no money, but he could work, so he went home and he started mowing yards and he started doing odd jobs. And, you know, he worked and he labored for weeks until he finally had the money to buy the boat. And he ran to the shop with his money and the boat was still there. And he bought the boat. As he walked out of the shop, he hugged the boat to himself and he says, "Now you're twice mine. I made you and I lost you and I bought you back." And that's what God says of us. "You're twice mine now because I made you. I lost you. not any reason of God's. I lost you, he says, because of your own willfulness. We went our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone our own way. And then he says, I have bought you back. Jesus redeemed us, but not only that, he was sent to adopt us. The verse goes on, right? He came to redeem us and to adopt us as his own. He didn't redeem us to say, now listen, I've cleaned you up, I've fixed you, now don't mess it up again. He knew that was impossible for us. We had not just to be redeemed, we had to be brought into his family. According to Paul's Christmas card, Jesus' birth changed our family tree. You might not like your family tree. There's a bunch of nuts in it. Well, that's okay, because now you're in a different family tree. You've been moved right out of your lineage and into another. Some of us have been watching The Crown. You may disagree with that or look down on that whole story. But, you know, the funny thing about that story is that it's so important how you were born, right? I mean, it's all about your lineage. It is all about your heritage. And if you are in the royal family, you got it made for life. And listen, let me tell you something. Compared to the royal family, compared to Jesus' family, the royal family is derelicts. They're bums. They're hobos. They're nothing. They're nobodies. They have nothing going for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the lineage of Christ is eternal. The lineage of Queen Elizabeth, God bless her, is not eternal. That line eventually will disappear, but not this line. And so Jesus, the Bible says here that you and I have been adopted into another family. I have had a hard time. I don't now, but there have been times in my life when I had a hard time really believing that. Well, I mean, I had a hard time believing I was saved. And I know some of you probably thought the same thing. Is that guy really saved? Is our pastor saved? You know, I wrote this in my journal a number of years ago. I struggle sometimes with fear in the pit of my stomach. Anybody ever have this fear? That I will die one day and stand before the great God of the universe, and he will shake his head and say, I never knew you. Matthew 7, that's in there, right? Some will have that experience. Paul answers that fear in this Christmas card. No. You have been redeemed. And not only that, you have been placed in a different family. And then he says, this faith-empowering truth. And he was sent to indwell us. He was sent to redeem us. He was sent to adopt us. He was sent to indwell us. Again, just adopting someone into your family, but not teaching them, training them, loving them, empowering them to learn how to live a different way is not enough. You guys who have adopted, you understand that, right? Better than the rest of us. That just bringing someone in your family doesn't automatically make them different. Jesus said, no, I'm going to put you in my family, and then I'm going to keep you in my family, and I'm going to teach you how to be a part of my family because I'm going to come and live inside of you. Your whole operating system is going to change. Everything about you is going to be different. He says that when we're adopted, our Father sends the Spirit into our hearts, and he cries out, Abba, Father. So the day I wrote that journal entry, I also wrote this. I told the Lord today that I really wanted to know him, and that all my Christian life I'd really wanted to know him, but at the same time, all my Christian life, see if you can relate, I've been running away from really knowing him. Isn't it funny? I thought how you can long for something and run from it at the same time. The Lord showed me that I'm his. His Spirit witnessed to my spirit that I'm a son. That's Romans 8. Praise God. I praise God for his assurance today that I am his and my fears will never be realized. I will never have to stand before an angry God and hear him say, I never knew you. Listen, saints, you may have grown up with an angry father. You may have grown up with an absent father. You may have even grown up with an abusive father. And if you did, this is even more amazing news for you. That God, who is love and mercy and grace and tenderness, has adopted you and brought you in as a child and wrapped you in his arms, is holding you close and will never let you go. That's what we long for, and that's what we've been given in Christ. And I realized as I looked at this passage again this week, and I've never had this thought, really, Because you hear about, well, you know, this person really is close with God. And I understand the concept there that some seem to be closer to God than others. But the reality is, because we have the Spirit of God's Son living in us, crying out, Abba, Father, we always have intimacy with God. Always. You say, well, sometimes I don't feel very close to Him. Well, that's because of where you are in your mind and in your reaction to your own sin and your own self. But the reality is, He hasn't moved, and really, you haven't either. You're still right there in the center of His palm, right there in His heart, and He's right there in you. You are intimates with God through Jesus Christ. Everybody said? Paul said this in another Christmas card. This was to the Romans. Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, the first verse I read a while ago in Galatians 4, it says that by that Spirit, He cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, in our hearts. But here, Paul says, no, not only that, we cry out, Abba, Father. Because we are His. John Wesley wrote this about his life as a minister. You know, John Wesley was a pastor before he was saved. You guys know that story? He preached in the church for several years before he had that Aldersgate moment where he felt his heart strangely warmed. And he said this. He said, I had even then, before I became a believer, I had even then the faith of a servant, though not of a son. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the faith of a servant? Oh, I gotta serve God today. I know if I don't serve God, He won't love me, and He won't accept me, and I might not end up in heaven. I won't be His child if I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. If you have that supposed to do attitude in order to please God, then you're still looking at yourself like you're a servant. You're not a servant. You are a son. Now, do we serve Christ? Everybody said yes, but we don't serve Him as a servant. We serve Him as a son. No longer, He says, do I call you servant. I call you friend. But we're more than a friend. We are a son or a daughter. Dane Ortlund says it like this in his book. Are you getting tired of hearing this? Gentle and lowly. All the elders are getting one for Christmas. The Spirit takes what we read in the Bible. Listen to this, saints. Listen, seriously. The Spirit takes what we read in the Bible and believe on paper about Jesus' heart and moves it from theory to reality, from doctrine to experience. It's one thing as a child to be told your Father loves you. You believe Him, or maybe you don't, but you believe Him. You take Him at His word. But it's another thing, unutterably more real, to be swept up in His embrace, to feel the warmth, to hear His beating heart within His chest, to instantly know the protective grip of His arms. And then he says, it's one thing to hear He loves you, it's another thing to feel His love. That's the glorious work of the Spirit. You are sons, you are daughters, you are heirs, and the testimony that we belong to Him is that we call God by the affectionate name that Jesus gives us. The Spirit of Christ in us tells us we can call God Abba. And for the Hebrews, that was a term of affection. It would be like us saying Daddy, or some of you say Papa. Whatever your term of affection is for your Father is going to be what we are calling God, because we belong to Him. You know what I want for all of us this Christmas? The very thing we already have and yet so often forget, that we have been redeemed. We have been adopted, and we have been indwelled by the Spirit, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, who loves us and will never stop. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that You do love us, and that You love us enough not to just redeem us and leave us in our state of redemption, and yet without hope that we can continue to walk in that state. Lord, we have been redeemed and we have been adopted and we have been indwelt by your Spirit so that we can know day by day, moment by moment, that we belong to you, that our security will not be found in politics or in governments or even in church buildings or in church groups, but our security is found in the blood of Jesus and in the indwelling Spirit of God, who is our guarantee that one day we will see you face to face, that because we have become like you and our spirit testifies with your spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, that we will one day see you face to face and know you as you have known us. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would help us as children of God to live as sons and daughters and not as slaves or servants. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.